It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
So we got home last night, and the cats were extremely excited to see us, and then angry at us, and then latched onto us for the rest of the night. and as is always the thing, when we're gone for a long time, the next day, if it's a work day, they're very nervous when we try and leave again. And we're always like, this is just work. We'll be back tonight. And so we come in tonight, and I was like, see, I told you we'd be back tonight. We just had to go to work. And Trish says, yeah, and Addie, you get to see Gus. And I said, no, William calls him Gus. And she said, I like to think that he thinks William is also named Gus. So
that's probably true.
There you go. All right. So it's been a long time. We have a lot of things to talk about. I'll be impressed if we manage an actual question this time. But we're immediately doing another episode, so we'll have another shot. But before we get into any of that, there is one particular thing I need to talk about up front that happened to me on this trip.
Okay.
I went to the downtown Seattle location of the Cheesecake Factory.
And that's significant because?
That particular location isn't. I had never been to a Cheesecake Factory before in my life.
No, I never have either. Even though my brother lived like a block away from the one in West Des Moines.
And they're very popular.
Well, yeah.
And I guess they were then. They are oft ridiculed in the world of comedy.
They are?
While still being very popular. Yes. Mostly for having a ridiculously large menu is what a lot of it comes down to. And also, theoretically, by having a ridiculously large, mediocre menu. And also, it was for many seasons of The Big Bang Theory where one of the main characters worked and where a lot of scenes were set in a restaurant that was supposedly a Cheesecake Factory.
Okay.
So it has a lot of iconic significance in the world, and I had never been to one and went to one. Holy crap. I've thought a long time about what I'm going to say, and I'm still not entirely sure. It was an incredible, I would say wonderfully positive experience for me that I am determined never to have again.
Why is that?
It is what is best and worst about America all wrapped up at once. I loved it, but I'm not sure I think it should exist. Cheesecake Factory's menu is 21 pages.
21 pages?
21 pages.
Is there just one thing on each page?
No. 21 pages full of things.
Huh.
And no filler. And I say there's no filler because there is filler. There are pages that are just pictures. Those are not part of the numbering scheme, though.
Oh, so you don't even know.
So it's page 11, and then there's a giant ad or whatever.
Oh,
and then it's page
12.
Yes. It's 21 actual pages full of stuff. They got like 6 pages called specialties.
Well,
like, I feel like that's just breaking the language.
Yeah, I think so too. I was going to say that.
It's insane. Seem
to be right.
Name a type of cuisine.
A type?
Yes.
You mean like Chinese food?
Yeah, they have it. I'm not even lying about that one. They legit have Chinese food and Italian. Seafood that, you know, wherever you go to the Cheesecake Factory, it's going to be the same seafood. Cheesecake, obviously. There are like 30 kinds of cheesecake. And that's not all the desserts. There's a lot more desserts, but there's like 30 kinds of cheesecake.
And, okay, what was good about this? I mean, this doesn't sound bad necessarily, but it's
tasty.
Weird.
It's also huge portions of things.
Oh, I see.
And it's tasty stuff. I started with a guava daiquiri because I'd never seen a guava daiquiri, and I love guava. So I was like, what the hell? It was really tasty. And then we got some fried mac and cheese, which is a thing that I enjoy.
Yeah, you like that, yeah.
These were really good. And also, like, the size of my fist. It was insane. And I don't even know why I did that, because I knew it was going to be too much food.
Because that was supposed to be like an appetizer or something?
Yeah, that was just a little starter that we had. And then, as a joke, I said to our server, how much do you hate it when people ask you for recommendations? And she's like, actually, I have some. And she told me her recommendations. And one of the things she really liked was a pasta. She said in general she thinks the pasta has done really well. So she was saying in general she thinks the 19 pasta dishes are one of the high points of the menu.
Okay.
But she brought up a couple other things. But her favorite was a pasta. It was a farfalla dish that was done with mushrooms. And supposedly it was in a cream sauce. I didn't really, I mean, it wasn't dry or anything, but it didn't, when I think of a cream sauce, I think of like a big, heavy, white bechamel that's like holding everything together.
Sure.
It was not the case. It had garlic, like just cloves of roasted garlic in it. Mm. Just a ton of them. Mm. And chicken, and it was really good. Mm. Also really rich, really filling. Thought I was going to die. I probably should say, before any of this happened, when she first greeted us, she said, shall I bring bread and butter for the table?
Wow.
And I'm like, I'm probably never doing this again. I'm doing the full. So I was like, yes, bring us butter and bread. Sorry, I forgot the bread part. And they brought this brown bread that was rolled in grain that was really good. And then sourdough that was like homemade sourdough. It was really impressive. And then we got these. My wife and my sister-in-law, who were there, both got essentially breaded chicken with a starch. I don't even remember. One of them, I think, was, I don't know what they called it, but it was essentially chicken parmesan, and it came with tossed spaghetti. Mm. Just a mound of tossed spaghetti and like half a chicken that had been beaten down and breaded and all covered in this tomato sauce that Trish really liked. And then the other one, I don't think it was the chicken marsala, which was also on the menu. It was like the chicken Romano or something, but it was a breaded chicken that came with mashed potatoes, this huge thing of mashed potatoes. And we ate some of these. Like, we took some of everything home. Oh, like, there was just no way. And then, by then, my sister-in-law was dead, so she was not going to have any dessert. She just had died at the table. But the wife and I went for it and ordered cheesecakes. Mm-hmm. And this was fun, too, because I was like, what's the best? Because I wasn't joking this time. I'm like, what's the best cheesecake? Never coming back here. What's the best cheesecake? And she picked one for me that was a raspberry lemon thing. And the reason she picked it is she said it's not as cheesecake. It has sponge cake intermixed.
Mm.
And I was like, that's wimpy. But I went for it anyway. So glad I did. Trish's was a chocolate mousse cheesecake. And it was just... I mean, it was like a good three, four inch tall piece.
Wow.
Just solid chocolate stuff. And like, I helped and we got maybe half the piece done and took the rest back. Mine, I ate the whole thing because I'm an idiot, but like, thank goodness. And what I had planned to get before this, they have a Cinnabon branded cheesecake on there. And I'm pretty sure I would not be talking to you now if I had attempted to order that. So we did all this. We got boxes for everything. They have bags for, like, everybody looks like they've just been shopping on the Rodeo Drive Cheesecake Factory when they leave. And the bill was like $800. I mean, none of it is cheap. It's not affordable. I don't know what people are thinking. But tons of people were there. People were on dates. People were catching up with old friends. People seemed to be having like business dinners and stuff here. Like and we waited 30 minutes just to get in the first place.
Cheesecake Factory.
And it's huge. There were 1,000 tables. It's huge. Like it's... It's like, if people meet people who just, if they want to go out and go to Applebee's, Cheesecake Factory is where they go when they want to be fancy, I guess. I don't know. And it was amazing. Like, all of the food and so much food and just the ultimate in gluttony and and so many choices. You could eat there for years and never have the same thing twice or whatever. And it was wonderful. And I died a little inside. And I don't mean, like, emotionally. I mean, like, I am confident I hurt something in my gastrointestinal tract. And I don't feel like it should exist or that I should ever go there again. But it was amazing. And epilogue, my next, like, 3 days of food was just eating those leftovers. Because they didn't particularly want them. So I ate most of them. Just all the time. It's like, should we go for dinner? No, we still have more. But, like, we filled that little mini fridge in the hotel with the boxes of of Cheesecake Factory. It was insane. I highly recommend it. You do it once, but only after you've done everything else in your life that you want to do. Just in case.
Because you might die.
Yeah. 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 Insane. Insane. You can look up the menu online and just see. Because it's not... It's not just that it's huge. It's that it's everything.
Well,
there was Chinese. There was Mexican. Like there, yeah, like I said, it's famous for just like having everything on its menu.
I remember there being a Cheesecake Factory. Like you could walk out my brother's, the entrance to my brother's house was in a, an alley.
Uh-huh.
And when you left the alley and went around the corner, there was a Cheesecake Factory.
But is your brother dead?
No.
He probably never went there.
But it wasn't very big.
Well, and I don't know that they're all that huge.
Yeah.
Because this was downtown Seattle.
Okay.
But, and like I said, I think they're just the fanciest version of casual family dining. Like, I think they kind of fit in the Applebee's Outback world. But supersized, for lack of a better term.
More expensive, though.
I found it so. I mean, it wasn't, if I go out to a fine dining establishment, that costs more.
Sure.
But I mean, and you know, and we pulled out all the stops, but I mean, it was three figures for three of us. And I'm the only one who had really any beverage. I think they both just drank water. No, wait. Sister-in-law might have had Dr. Pepper. But I mean, you can look it up all online. It's that's the best answer. Everybody go look up Cheesecake Factory online. Peruse the menu at your leisure.
Are there even any in Iowa still? I don't think the one
I'm going still. I don't know. And just imagine the experience. And don't do it. But it was amazing. I saw colors I'd never seen before. I'm not even getting into the decor, which was a whole thing too. So big, so loud. So much food. And they have, oh my God, they have the calorie counts on the menu like many places do now.
Sure.
There was not an entree under 1,200 calories. Whoa. And there were some over 2,000. When I first, like, and this is just the entree, like not.
Wow.
I looked at it and I was like, I didn't know calorie numbers went that high. And I mean, I eat everything. But I eat it in discrete amounts that are smaller than that. It was like, that's what I should have done the math.
Well, why
and see how many calories I took in, because it had to have been insane.
Their servings are so large.
Because it's America. Because that's what people want.
Do they?
I mean, just found out today. Yes, they do. And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Do you know how supersizing was invented? Like, no. McDonald's supersized thing?
I do not know how.
It is, well... There's bigger history of the person who invented the large popcorn and things like that movies, but supersize specifically was called dino sizing, and it was for the tie-in to the original Jurassic Park movie, and it was a limited time thing because it was just a novelty. They didn't think people wanted more. It was a novelty that, oh, the size of a dinosaur or whatever. So many fucking people wanted it and kept ordering it and tried to order it after it went away that they had to turn it into a thing.
Huh.
Back in the day, now it is over time, what people are looking for in their dining is changing, you know, millennials, et cetera, et cetera. But for a long time, and when these things all rose to prominence, the 80s and 90s and all that, the big deal was value. How much can you get for a buck?
Even and if you weren't get gonna eat it?
8,000 calories for... Dude. Olive Garden.
Yeah.
Regularly has a promotion where you order a meal and they give you another meal to take home.
Mm.
Like, literally, there's a list of entrees, and you pick them, and you get the soup and salad and everything, and they give you a different, you can pick this entree, and it comes with breadsticks and soup and salad, and you get to take it home with you.
Okay. I mean, I don't know.
Like,
I guess.
For people who are like, I like to eat all of this ridiculous amount of food, but I also like to have leftovers for tomorrow, quote unquote. Well, now you can eat all of your ridiculous amount of food and have the same ridiculous amount of food to eat tomorrow.
So it makes me wonder how often people actually eat them, or they just go bad in the fridge kind of deal.
No, I don't think.
You think people eat them?
I think so. Hmm. Small leftovers go bad, not big ones. Right? There's a reason why until recently we were number one in obesity in the world. We're down. I think we're number two. I think Mexico's beating us now. Although most countries, if you look, that their obesity rates have gone up a whole bunch recently, it's because these various chains have moved into their country.
Sure.
It's insane. So, yes, I experienced Cheesecake Factory, so you don't have to. if you're going to do it, just consult a physician first. And make sure you do it all at once, because you should never go back.
Do they sell like half portions or something?
They probably have a lighter menu where like it's only 1,000 calories. There were 21
That's
pages.
Still a lot.
I'm not gonna say I read the whole thing. I'm an avid reader, but holy shit! they had a kid's portion too in there. I don't know what that's about. Like, what is the kid eating? Out of all of this,
It sounds like something you could put on your bookshelf, like 21 pages.
It was like that day. It was like that day.
Yeah, that's.
it's ridiculous. 21 pages, not, and that was the thing. Like as soon as I opened it, I was like, oh my god! And I went to the back to find the page number, and then I started going through it again, and then I get to this big ad for like Coca-Cola or whatever, and then I was like, wait a second, and I go to the next. I'm like, they didn't even number the ads. It's 21 pages of stuff. And the print is not that big.
Well,
there aren't like pictures with the food. Like this is just.
Are they tabbed?
No. Which the fuck is wrong with that? Like you have to go through it. It's like a forced march through the menu. And in fact, originally, like my sister-in-law said, she wasn't going to do dessert, and I was like, oh, why not? And she's like, I don't like cheesecake. It's like, okay. And then she didn't realize there was half a page of stuff that wasn't cheesecake.
Sure.
She didn't realize the whole next thing was another whole page of stuff. She's like, oh my God. But by then she had eaten too much and was dead, so she couldn't.
You know, one of the reasons most restaurants don't do that is because
how do you prepare all that
food? You're not going to sell it all.
I assume it's just in baggies that are suspended in carbonite. I have no idea.
That's a real inventory problem.
I don't, also from a cooking skill perspective.
Yeah,
it's
I was thinking that too.
No, and like I said, specialties. Like 5, 6, 7 pages, and none. There was not a theme amongst those, in case you were wondering. And there was a whole, this is all the dinner shit. They had a whole section of burgers before that. And
it sounds impossible, honestly. How could you run a business with a
I feel like there's stuff on there that they've just proven no one will ever order. And if you ordered it, they couldn't actually make it. I don't know. Look it up. It's fascinating. There needs to be a documentary on it. And it's very popular. Like, the people, like, Cheesecake Factory is a successful business. Very successful business. I don't understand it. Hello, everyone. Welcome to 20 minutes in to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast with more appetizers than specialties. us are people.
What?
I don't know. I've been alternating all day. All day I could remember what day it was or what time it was, but never both at once. I am Tony.
And I'm William. And this is episode 454.
Yeah, I concur.
Good.
Ever since the recording barrage we did, I've been very keenly aware of the numbers lately, so...
So let's just cut to the chase, because you've had a busy month.
Yes, but we have to explain how the podcast works.
Oh, that because we're not going to do it next time. It's two-parter.
Oh, that's right. I don't have to do it next time. That's good. So all the interesting bits you're going to have dive in next time. This is mostly just Cheesecake Factory talk. we have a hat. It's magic in that it has its own email address. TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. And folks, cool people, and also Agitalent. Write in to that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, questions, topics, that kind of thing. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them, manifest physically within the hat itself. It's essentially just made up of cheesecake now. Servants... draw those note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour, that's the whole show. Except the parts that aren't, which, as you no doubt have already figured out, is most of it.
So, if I was a cheesecake, what cheesecake would I be?
I didn't even read all the cheesecakes. There's like a mint one. You could probably be a mint.
Could I be a mint one?
Probably.
I thought you were going to say I would be plain. I wouldn't even have whipped cream on. Just a plain
cheesecake. No. You'd be mint. you're one of those cheesecake flavors where somebody was like, huh? Well, I mean, I guess, maybe. There's nothing inherently wrong with it. It just wouldn't have occurred to me. But I can't come up with a rational objection, so sure.
And you're not inspired to order it. It's just now you know it exists.
Yeah. But you also can't. If people are like, why not? You're like, I mean.
There's a lot of better options, obviously.
I had my heart set on a different one. Otherwise, I might. You know, I mean, I certainly wouldn't judge anyone who did pick it. Like, you're free to do what you want. It's not my thing. You know? It's perfectly valid.
That's really good. Fantastic.
Yeah, it's been a busy couple weeks.
Yeah, you should talk about it. I've just been doing the usual thing.
So I went on 3 trips. All at once.
That's crazy, man.
It was. Yeah. And as you recall, I was afraid that it would be a problem because usually at the end of a trip, I'm ready to be done, mm-hmm. no matter the length of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened.
Oh.
Yes, what? Addy is singing the song of his people. What? Are you out of food? No, you still got food. What's wrong with you? I do realize I forgot to feed them when I come up, but they still got food left, so whatever. I went with my wife to Oregon, and we spent 3 or 4 days with my sister and her husband, like not with them, but like visiting with them, and one day in there going and seeing my niece at college for the day. And then we went to the beach and stayed there visiting with my parents for 3 or 4 days. Then we drove all the way to Seattle to attend Geek Girl Con.
Yeah, this was
and to meet up with my sister-in-law who flew in to Seattle.
This was the itinerary you told us about ahead of time.
And then Friday night we went to Cheesecake Factory and things were a blur. And then Saturday and Sunday was Geek Girl Con. And then Monday morning, we got on a ferry, went to Victoria, British Columbia, spent the rest of the day there, spent the night there, spent most of the day Tuesday there, came back on the ferry. Wednesday, flew home. Mm-hmm. Got in last night.
Mm-hmm.
So, the part with my family was very nice.
That's good.
It was good to catch up with them, and the whole thing was just very relaxed. Like, we would meet up with them for a few hours somewhere in the day, and otherwise we were just sort of hanging out. I slept a lot. I ate a lot, because that's what I do. I read a lot. I finished 3 novels and started a new one on this trip.
Wow.
And 2 of those novels were pretty damn big. Yeah, so I read a ton. That was fun. And yeah, I got to catch up with everybody. That was cool. We got to see my niece at her college, which seems to be going really well. And it took a little doing, but we finally convinced her to let us buy her all the shit. Like you do when you're a grown up and you go visit a college student. You know, you take them to Walmart and you buy them all the things there. And she tried really hard. What are you... did you track something in?
Me?
Trying to bear it, I assume. I don't know.
I don't know.
Addie's incessantly trying to bury something by the door, so... Actually, remind me to come back to that, because we found something fun when we came home last night. But anyway. Yeah, so... At first, she's like, oh, you don't have to give me anything. And then she's like, well, I do need Kleenex and Lysol spray. And then we went to the grocery store, and then we would just go down everywhere. She's like, oh, those are my favorite cookies. And it's like, I don't need them. I'm like, no, get them. Whatever. So we ended up buying her a bunch of shit, which was fine. Which was good, because Trish kept saying, like, this is the first and probably only time we get to be on the other side of this.
Yeah.
Our parents did it for us. Now we do it for you. So that was cool. And Addie, knock it off. I'm recording a podcast here. And then we visited my parents, and that was cool. They're doing all right. They are very old. Very old. But they're doing pretty good.
So when you say the beach, they live on?
They live on the beach.
Oh.
They live in a little town called Depot Bay, Oregon. And in fact, it is the world's smallest harbor. Supposedly, Depot Bay.
But you didn't grow up there. They moved there.
No. Like as a retirement. I grew up where my sister lives. My sister lives in my childhood home.
Okay.
She bought it from my parents.
And that town's called what again?
That town is called Kaiser.
Kaiser, yeah.
Oregon. It used to be a part of Salem, and then it became its own thing. It's the Coralville to Salem's Iowa City.
Gotcha.
And yeah, my parents have a house in Depot Bay. And we stayed in Newport at a pretty decent little condominium. It was pretty cute, and that was fun. It was nice to have a full kitchen again and stuff. Although, I got to say, Holiday Inn Express.
Yeah.
Unbelievable breakfast.
Really?
They work really hard at it. Just all of the things. Super tasty. Really good. And it's smart to do that because it's like, that's the last thing everybody's going to remember. So
yeah,
if you nail that, you're good.
That's true.
So that was really nice. But yeah, then we had our own back at the thing. And then we drove. God damn it, Ezzy. Not Ezzy. Whichever one you are. Roy, Rokebird,
Gus.
Rutabaga. What is your name, boy? Do something else.
Do something else.
All right. And I got some more shoes over here, so don't even try it. For those worried at home, I did not throw the shoe at him. I threw it at the door nearby where he was.
It showed great skill and accuracy.
Like I have done it before. And then we drove up to Seattle and met up with his sister-in-law and went to the Cheesecake Factory. And then we went to Geek Girl Con for 2 days. Geek Girl Con is a... I don't even know what to call them anymore, because it used to be like, this is a comic convention and this is a gaming convention. Like, it's a geek convention.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, all of the things. And it is very progressive, very feminist, very empowering women. in fandom and in STEM, like there's a whole section that's just science stuff, that like science experiments and stuff. There were a lot of young people, a lot of, not all women definitely, but a lot of women, a lot of things happening. I was already very tired at this point, and I had already now not been working out for like a week and had been eating a lot and sleeping a ton. So I spent more time in the hotel than my compatriots. But I did a fair number of things, and it's not really for me. Partially because I'm a white male. Partially because I'm old. Cons in general are a young person's game.
Yeah, pretty much.
Unless it's a con that you've been doing since you were young, like, and you're like a fixture in it, you know?
Yeah.
But it's just so much happening and going on. And it's not a very big con, but I think it's probably the biggest one I've ever been to by a long shot.
Really?
Yeah, it was good size. But the stuff I did was cool. I attended panels on GMing as activism, which was very cool.
Interesting.
I attended a panel on indigenous futurism, which is the thing that I'm really, really sort of into already.
That's really interesting.
And some others. I attended a performance. So there had been a workshop on stand-up comedy and sort of equivalent to like teaching you public speaking, but it was through this medium.
Sure.
What I didn't realize later is I went and saw a comedy performance that was the people who had been in this workshop. So it was a bunch of people who had never done stand-up doing stand-up in front of us.
Mm.
And that was pretty amazing. And there was a sort of a science bent to a lot of it, because a lot of them were scientists.
Sure.
But then there was also one who mostly was just about how middle school bus drivers kind of suck. And things like this. And another one talking about being a trans woman who discovered that she can pass, but she passes as a grandma, and she doesn't like that. And so that was really fun. And there was a lot of cosplay, and that was very cool. And I bought some cool swag, which was nice. A Totoro poster that I'm going to put up at work, and a little piece of sushi made to look like a cat that I like a plushie. I picked up cards. There were a lot of small publishing houses there, and I picked up all their cards, and I want to look at them more online. And mostly it was just very thought-provoking. It gave me a lot of ideas about my writing and a lot of ideas about my GMing.
Mm.
Which are still rattling around in my head, and I'm excited about that. So that should be cool. And then we went to Victoria on the Clipper ship, which is a ferry that doesn't have any cars or anything.
Oh.
And that was cool. Victoria's amazing. I was exhausted this point. I was a freaking zombie. But we went out to eat at the place that we had been years ago that we really liked. And went to a pub for dinner. I took a big nap somewhere in there. My wife and her sister did some shopping. And then the next day we went to the Royal British Columbia Museum. Whole interesting exhibit about the Maya people. The museum as a whole has some issues now. It might be, we were trying to figure out how much of it is me having a different perspective now that I'm not a kid anymore, how much of it is us comparing it to the University of British Columbia Museum of Anthropology in Vancouver, which is amazing.
Oh man, that sounds amazing.
and stuff like this. And so it like it didn't really stand up, and there were just weird sort of gaps in information in places. Like they clearly didn't have an expert on this thing or whatever, and that was a little bit odd, but again very thought provoking. It made me want to look into certain things more, and it also gave me some cool writing ideas and stuff like that. So I think it was worth the trip. From what I can remember, I was very, very out of it at this point. I'd like to say I was on something, but no, I was just really tired. And I got some good shortbread, and I got some jelly babies, which is the important thing when you go to Canada. I love jelly babies. And then, yeah, we came back here, and that was pretty much it.
How was your flight back? Okay.
Not too bad. I was a little surprised. I ended up in the middle seat and was fairly comfortable with it.
But there was no weather issues causing delays or anything like
that? No, not for us. Yeah. There were for my friends who, simultaneous to this trip, were going to Rome and missed out on a whole day because the weather in Chicago screwed them up.
Yeah.
Felt really bad for them. But no, we didn't have any delays or anything. I mean, nothing that affected us. We worked at it, so we had like a 2-3 hour layover both times so that if it ran late, we were still fine.
Gotcha.
I said I read some books. I finished the Broken Earth trilogy by N.K. Jemisin that I had started a while back with the fifth season. I read the other two books in that, and amazing stuff. I mean, it was never not going to be. She's my favorite author. But good stuff. I'm now currently reading Anne Lemke, something like that. She's an up-and-coming. She wrote a book called Ancillary Justice, which I'm reading now, that is the only book to win the Hugo and the Nebula and the Arthur C. Clarke, I think.
Whoa.
And this was her first novel.
Wow.
And she has since finished out this trilogy. And I'm reading that. It's very. A lot of people also compared it to Le Guin, which I'm like, this is a good sign. So I'm in the middle of that. And that's very. It's interesting from a science fiction perspective. Our main character is in an individual body, but spent most of its existence as an AI on a giant warship and now has plans it needs to do. So it's been pretending to be a human in a human body. And that whole experience, it's also in a society that doesn't acknowledge gender, but is now dealing with societies that do. So there's a lot of weird trying to figure out how to gender people correctly. And incidentally, in the original society, the default, at least the default they're using, pronouns are all female. And so you get weird lines early on, like, she looked really angry, and based on the pattern of her outfit or something, I could tell she was a male. And I'm like, that's odd. And certain characters that we've never bothered to find out, because we do a lot of flashbacks and stuff, so there have been characters who are in relationships and stuff, and I'm like, I legitimately don't know for sure the gender of either of those characters. We've spent a lot of time with them, and I know they're together as lovers. I have no idea if either of them is male or female.
So this being, were they the ship, or were they just part of the ship?
They were an AI.
Among, just as a component of the ship, or?
I think they were essentially there. I'm butting up against both things I don't know at this point, and things that are very spoilery at this point.
Oh, okay.
But for the sake of this conversation, they were the AI that was the computer for that ship.
And now they're completely in this body, or
it appears that way. Yes. Now, this AI was able to split itself into other.
Oh, okay.
That's where the ancillary term comes in. It had ancillary. Consciousnesses and things. It appears that it's just this one now. I don't know, because we're getting, again, the story slowly in pieces.
Right.
So I'm only putting this together now. And in fact, reading the blurb on the book and explaining the premise, it said something that I'm now thinking is kind of a spoiler, because it hasn't been specifically said yet, and I'm like a third of the way through, but I'm making assumptions based on my knowledge of the thing that was said. So I'm like, that's a little bit of a bummer. But it's very, very good stuff. It's called, the author I get mixed up, but the book is called Ancillary Justice, and it's very interesting, and I very much like it so far. I also read a Nightside, the second Nightside book. I still can't decide if I like those or not. I don't know if I'm going to keep up with those. We'll have to see. And I got the second Discworld book. I was going to read it next, but then I switched to this Ancillary Justice thing instead.
Hey, and you've read the Discworld stuff before?
No, I had read the first book before, and now I've read it again.
Oh.
I haven't read any past that, but I plan to. Went back to work today. which was interesting. You would not have known this because we didn't record for this one. So the day, my last day at work before vacation, I was informed that there was a restructuring and I was now on a new team with a new boss.
Wow.
Yes. My new boss, I believe, was told like an hour before I was.
Wow.
So she also didn't have a real clear picture at that point, I don't think, of what I was going to be doing.
Mm.
And how much of my old job was still going to be doing and what my new job was and stuff like this. So I left on this vacation not really knowing what my job was. I definitely had a job.
Yeah.
And I knew who my boss was. Didn't really know what the job was.
Wow.
And not all the pieces are there still. And Monday I'm going to sit down with my new boss and talk. I love my bosses that I've had. She listens to the show. And I realized eventually, because I've had a few bosses at ACD, but I realized she's been the longest because I've been her working for her for like 4 years or something. So, I mean, I hate to see that go. But the person I'm reporting to now, I already had some dealings with and I get along with very well, and I think she'll be great.
That's good.
So I'm getting bits and pieces. It sounds like a lot of what I do now I will keep doing, which is good because I like my team and I want to keep supporting my team. It does sound like there's a good chance I will be moving from where my team is to the place where the new team I'm on is. That may not happen immediately, but and I'm a little bit bummed about that. But I like the people who are there too, so I think it's all going to be fine. But it's just been a little up in the air, and that's been a little bit weird and spooky. And strange to be in these meetings with my team and be like, yeah, technically I'm not on this team anymore. Although it was fun today, where in a meeting with other people, I got to finally say, and I don't know why I didn't think of it before, but my old boss said something, and I said, You're not the boss of me. And I'm like, oh my God, I am never going to get tired of telling you that. That is going to be so much fun. And she's like, we could barely keep him in line before. This is a nightmare. So that's going to be fun. But yeah, so a lot of things happen. I think it's going to be cool overall. I actually really do. I think my job is going to change, not a lot, but some, and in ways that I think are going to be really neat.
Good.
But yeah, at this point, it's just a little out there. And my new boss was like, yeah, we can meet about this. I wasn't going to bug you today because I figured you still sort of were catching up on things, which I totally was. And she's out tomorrow. So I've already scheduled and we're going to meet Monday to like sit down and talk. But I found out that in between she had actually written me some stuff that gave me some perspective. So
that's good.
And mostly I'm just trying to crawl my way through to this weekend. And then Trish and I can use this weekend to like reset ourselves to not on vacation and also in Central Time Zone.
Yeah.
Because that's out of whack right now. Yeah, we woke up this morning and I'm like, so it's 4:30 for us right now? That's not right. All right. That's it. You got anything you want to mention?
No, I'm good.
All right, then we should probably hat something.
Stu has a question.
All right. Stu, what is your question?
Dear Hat.
Yes.
Oh, he's asking the Hat.
All right.
Assuming retirement is still a thing when we get there, what are you planning to do once retired? What do you think the Hat's going to do when it's time for the Hat to retire?
I mean, the Hat's an immortal, quasi-sentient being that's never probably going to retire.
Okay.
The Hat has been and always will be.
Should we answer this question as if he's actually asking us?
I think so. Welsh, yeah. No, I think he's asking that.
What are you planning to do once retired?
I've been thinking about this lately.
Have you now?
Yeah, something occurred to me just the other day. Well, there's a lot of this keeping busy after you retire, and I know a lot of people who just won't
retire.
They'll just work till they die because they don't understand, like they can't cope with the idea of not working. Like, they don't know what they do with themselves. And there are things to do, but, like they just want they find a great deal of purpose in their work, and they can't imagine the idle time. And I have found in my limited observations of the whole thing that most retirees, it takes them about a year to figure out what the fuck's going on. Which can be tricky, because if you have someone who retires and it takes them about a year to figure out what the fuck's going on, and then they're set and they're a retiree and they are in the home and that's all, and then their spouse retires, there's that year while their spouse is figuring out what to do as a retiree, where the original person is trying to figure out what to do now that their daytime kingdom has been invaded by a new retiree who's there all the time. It can get ugly. Hypothetically speaking, not that I have witnessed this ever before. But anyway, but I realized recently, mine, yours, ours is the first generation of any significant number to really grow up and be into video games.
That is true. I believe that. I think that's a
and
very
it's
accurate
not
statement.
Like video games are going to suddenly get shittier. And in fact, between now and the 20 years till we retire, they're probably going to get a lot better.
Probably.
And so basically, I'll just do that like all the time.
Maybe. Maybe even.
I'll get into whatever the version of World of Warcraft is in 20 years and be on there all the time. And it is happening. There's an 80-year-old woman right now who plays online games just to keep her brain sharp or whatever, and it's how she entertains herself.
And maybe by then it'll be like a way for you to like you'll be able to actually feel like you're younger.
Right.
Doing cool stuff that you can't do
or
anymore.
Or at the least it'll be like when they talked about Wii bowling was exercise. Maybe this will be like real exercise.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, that's going to be awesome. And and as somebody who has accidentally wasted weeks of time in a video game, like, yeah, that I will have no problem keeping busy with that. And I'm not saying I won't do other things. I'm just saying there's never going to be a point where I'm going to be like, I'm just so bored. No, pick up the new whatever it is.
Well, and they'll probably be better integrated with the Internet of Things. So while you're playing your video game, you can do your shopping real quick and have it delivered to your door.
Well, you're already at the point where you can live a very diverse and full life and never leave your house.
That's right.
Like,
that's
everything
right.
will be sent to you. And I mean, there's a money factor, but let's be honest, we're all on the top level of this shit. We may be at the bottom of the top level, but in the giant class gap that is happening, me and you and pretty much everybody that I know to be listening to this are in the top gap. So we're going to be able to afford the modest version of whatever the future cool shit is. So, I mean, that's good, question mark, you know?
We might be doing things with the farm, turning it into maybe a learning farm, maybe a CSA, maybe we'll do a thing with like a pumpkin patch or something. I mean, we're probably going to do something with that plot of land that I might be pretty heavily involved with once that happens. Hopefully not for a very long time, because obviously before any of that happens, you know, my dad's going to pass on and we don't want that to happen anytime soon. But that would probably be my retirement, is whatever we're doing down there.
And that's cool. And, you know, people who volunteer and stuff like that, I totally think that's an awesome way to spend your time. And depending on how my writing career works, I might still be writing at that point or whatever. But it's just the people that are like, I don't want to be idle. I don't know what I'm like. Jesus Christ, dude. be the head of a high-level raiding guild in whatever the umpteenth iteration of World of Call of Duty Craft Online.
Well, it's true.
Ultra,
I mean,
is
everybody in our cohort, if you will, I mean, at least knows about video games.
Yep.
And, you know, if they'd never played one before they retired, they could definitely think about doing it.
And
they know a lot of people who have done it.
As it progresses, even though it gets more expensive and more involved, it also gets incredibly more accessible. Because for every year that passes, and however many games I play in that year, do you know how many perfectly good games came out that I didn't play?
Right.
And by the time I get around to them, do you realize how cheap they are?
Yeah.
Like, and I see this. I've known people who are, like, very not well off. And they play video games all the time because they bought a used PlayStation 2.
Mm-hmm.
And the PlayStation 2 games that are around nowadays are like 10 cents
mm-hmm.
because nobody fucking cares anymore. And they have the whole catalog, which was years and years and years and years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm like, video games are going to be awesome. That and drugs. They give old people all kinds of drugs.
They do.
And especially if at that point I'm living somewhere with like legal weed. I'll just be high and play video games all day. Be the best years of my life, and I won't fucking care about it. Like, it'd be awesome. So I'm excited. I've always been excited about retirement, but mostly just from the perspective of not working. Now I'm like, no, I'll be living my best life. I will be feeling myself. It'll be awesome.
Living the dream.
Speaking of, on the plane, I watched the first episode of Shrill. The A.D. Bryant comedy on Hulu.
Oh, I don't know.
I'd been very excited about this for a while. I was a little nervous because I thought it was sort of more of an hour-long dramedy kind of thing. But it's based off... first of all, I love A.D. Bryant. So when I found out she was helming something, I was all over that. But it's based off of an autobiographical memoir this woman wrote. Basically, the fat, single, white woman who was largely taken advantage of and crapped on by most people in her life, and then one day, due to circumstances, decided she wasn't going to do that anymore and that she was just going to be open and honest and assertive and live her life the way she wanted to live it and see what happened. And it's pretty funny so far, and it looks very interesting, and I've been excited to watch it, but like it was I'm more excited now having seen that. And it's a great A.D. Bryant movie. Lolly Adefobe, who's a British actress I like, is on it in a main role as well. It's really good. And I'm excited to see the rest of the season. And I think it already got a second season. So you should check it out on Hulu. It's called Shrill. Do that. All right. It's my turn to draw a thing. Give me the thing to draw it.
Wow, you get to draw a thing?
I do.
Almost never happens.
Which is weird, because we had so much to talk about. But, all right, this one is from Azure Talon. It's also been abridged, digested, as it were. I would just like to reiterate, these are his words, not mine. What's up, you cool Hatties? No question mark. Assuming, parenthetical, for a moment, Bigfoot is real,
okay,
and not just an ape, what is Bigfoot? As you tell.
Not just an ape.
Not just an ape.
I presume some kind of... They've changed the nomenclature for this. I was going to say hominid, but I think that means something different now than it did when I was in college. Like they've now they call him something else.
I'm good with hominid.
But probably something kind of like how you have the Neanderthals, you know.
Yeah.
And it's probably something like that, I guess. If it's not an ape and it exists, it would probably be something like that. I wouldn't be surprised if it even has some kind of culture or something.
I think,
like the
again, assuming
did.
It's real and not an ape.
It's a big assumption, by the way.
Straight up is not real.
Yeah.
But assuming it is
and
not an ape, I think it is a pair of large foot shaped models with doweling rods stuck in them so that somebody can essentially use them as stilts and make giant footprints. But outside that, I mean, I hate... No, I don't. I was going to say I hate to rain on your parade here, Agitown, but I don't. It gives me joy. If it's real, there's a very limited number of things. I guess we can say it's an alien, but I've never heard that theory personally, assuming whoever is putting forth that theory is home alone eating their own feces. Like, that's just a bonkers theory.
All things bonkers.
And outside of that, all it is... I mean, because, yeah, the Sasquatch doesn't have a lot of rumors. It's not an alien. It's not some sort of lycanthrope. Like, people don't turn into him or anything. All it is...
People don't turn into
him. Is at some point earlier in evolution, it is something that broke off in a different niche than what became Homo sapiens.
Yeah.
So it's... We had a common ancestor back there.
Yeah.
And it went in a slightly different direction, but a slightly hairier, larger-footed direction.
But unlike Neanderthals, didn't go extinct, apparently.
Yes. Which also means it is an ape
yes,
in the sense that we always say we evolved from apes, which is not accurate. We evolved from a common ancestor that apes also evolved from.
That's right.
That Sasquatch also evolved from, or something down the line there.
Yeah, right.
And so it's just an alternate. I mean, it's not. Not only is it not interesting, but when you spell it out like that, it seems even less likely. Because that's the thing. There's, unlike a lot of cryptids, there are no supernatural components surrounding Sasquatch.
Nope. There are, as
Wendigos and Nagloshis and shit like that, he said, naming off things he remembers from Dresden Files mostly. They all, you know, the spirit of a something or whatever. No. These are just different. These are the thing on the other side of Neanderthals.
Yeah, yeah.
There's us on the Neanderthals, and then on the other side is the Sasquatch. So, yeah, I mean, basically... You've ruined it by asking. So way to go. Sasquatches used to be cool, people. Azurtown killed it.
I don't think they were ever cool.
That might be the title of this episode. Sasquatches used to be cool.
I like Bigfoot stories and Sasquatch stories. I don't believe any of them, but I like them.
See, I have always found Bigfoot to be supremely uninteresting.
I know, you've said that. Which is which is weird since you grew up sort of in the hotspot area.
Right, maybe that's it. Maybe I just hung out with too many of them and I'm just bored now.
Nothing interesting about
They're always that. They always want to tell you about their fantasy football draft. They try and convert you to their religion, which Sasquatch religion is insane. It's like that thing Chevy Chase's character had in Community, the laser lotus thing. It's like that. It's really, you pay money and you get to the higher levels. It's weird.
So in the first Red Dead Redemption game, there are Sasquatches, Bigfoots, whatever.
All right.
Bigfeet.
I don't remember that. I was in that game. I wasn't in that. I played that game.
In Red Dead Redemption?
Yeah.
Well.
Technically, it's the second game, but yeah.
Maybe it, that's true. Maybe it's, maybe it was only in the Undead Nightmare part.
That could be. I didn't do any of the DLC.
So anyhow.
So they're undead now? They're interesting.
No, they're not undead. They're just there. And there's a whole
Squatch
clan of them.
Okay.
And
Lumpy and
you are
Chewy.
You are required by the mission to shoot them while they're running around scared until finally there's only one left and it talks to you. And so you stop and you hear its sad tale and you wonder, why didn't I have the option
to maybe not
talk to the Sasquatch first, but no, now I can only choose to talk to the Sasquatch after I've killed all of his
family.
Can
you put it out of its misery after that?
Yes, you can.
I feel like that's the best call.
I don't remember
what I also got from this, because I mostly wasn't listening to you.
It's terrible.
Is in the Star Wars Holiday Special, Chewie's kid is named Lumpy.
Yeah.
Which is terrible. But it's more terrible when you realize Chewie's name isn't Chewie.
No, it's Chewbacca.
So is Lumpy's real name Lumpaka or something?
Maybe.
Because it would be weird if his name was Chewbacca and Lumpy.
Well, that's what I've always thought. Even when I was a kid, I thought, why are they calling him Lumpy? I thought it must be a nickname, I thought.
For Lumpaka.
Maybe. I never thought of that. Lumpaka. Yeah, that makes sense.
The Forbidden Dance. Well, now Lumpaka should be the title of the episode. We got too many titles. And I'm going to forget them all for the
Lumpaka.
And what was mom's name?
I don't know.
She had a name too. And
oh, they all had names.
Yeah.
And grandpa had a name. Or?
They all ended in, no, it was Mala or Nala or something was the mom.
Oh.
So anyway.
Maybe the last name is Baka.
Baka. This is
Nala Baka.
My name is Baka. Chewbacca. Chewbacca will return in Tomorrow Never Shaves. Another good title. We got too many titles for this episode. All right. That's it for us now. We're going to record another one for Thanksgiving because as part of the court-mandated agreement, we never spend Thanksgiving together.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.